rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a good weekend. Man, it was a busy Saturday for sure around Western Oklahoma with, there was a bull sale going on at Hobart, the one at Cheyenne, had the equipment auction here in Elk City, had the Climate Smart farming event going on at the Western Technology Center, and I know there was some other things going on. I just can't think of them top of their head. So hopefully everybody had a good weekend. All right, let's check out some very rare first 3rd of February temperatures. 80 degrees at Eric, 82 at Slapout, 80 at the May Ranch, 78 at Ceiling, 74 at Tipton. Actually, looks like the coolest spot in Western Oklahoma is, which is, this is rare, Altus, Oklahoma at 72 degrees. Let's see what's happening in the Panhandle. 85 at Lipscomb, 82 at Miami, 77 at Dozer, and 77 at Odell. And Childress, you're 79 degrees. Anyway, enjoy this weather. It's going to change. This ain't going to last very long. We don't need it. We really don't need this. I'm just going to be honest. I got 14 new babies on the ground out here west of Elk in one pasture, and got some babies on the ground and some other pastures. We don't need these sharp, 45 for high tomorrow. We don't need this. I'm sorry, but we're going to get it whether we like it or not. So I wish it'd just be constant, but it's just not happening. We live in the United States now. Climate change, it's going on. I guess. I don't know. See what's happening. Okay. First of all, I wanted to give you an update on, let's start with the bull sale Saturday at Cheyenne. It was good. They had a really good turnout, I thought. I showed up for class here at 7:15 Saturday morning, and then I left early to go to the bull sale, and then I got back, and they just finished up the classes here at the Technology Center. And then I went out to stopped by the equipment auction here in Elk City. So I had a pretty busy day. All right, so here's what happened. Average sale price of the bulls at the All Breed Bull Sale, the 47th one, annual one, was $47.88. That's up $300 from last year. And just a little tip for you, a lot of these consigners that were at the auction, they have bulls in the auction Saturday, do have more bulls to sell at home if you're interested. There's catalog still out on the deal, or you can look it up on their Facebook page. And let's see here. You know, all these people helping at the bull sale are all volunteers. So I want to take this moment to thank them for helping with the All Breed Bull Sale put on by the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association. Directors, Linda wants to send out a big thanks to the directors and friends and family who worked their tails off for 2 weeks in January and February to make this happen. So it was a good bull sale. There was some, I think there was a few deals in there. There was some really good bulls that didn't bring what I thought they should. It's just me. And then there was some bulls in there that I thought brought what they should have. And, but overall, I think it was a great bull sale. It's Mollet Angus bull, the heifer one, I think it was high seller, $87.50, if I remember right. And then, rumors has it that the secret weapon got the last one bought. And one of his neighbors was running him up on it. Oh, if you don't have any friends in the farming or cattle industry, you don't have any friends at all. I don't know that he was running him up, because I think he needed the bull also.
Good stuff. Boy, Mark got his bull bought, though. It was a good bull. No doubt about it. He paid for it, though. So a lot of friends were there. I seen a lot of people there. And I want to thank Miss Kimber, her dad, Matt, was selling some bulls over there. And she was hanging out with her mom and grandpa and brother. And anyway, she gave me a happy birthday present over there after the bull sale. I want to thank Kimber for doing that. And, oh, they're going to pay for their raising on that young girl. So I can tell you. Then at the Western Technology Center here, it was really good. The crowd's pretty decent. I'm just going to let you know, some of you guys that are gardeners or want to get into honeybees and stuff like that, you just missed out. That's all I can tell you. Hopefully, maybe next year or the year after, we can bring them back. What impresses me the most, and I was even talking to Frank Lucas about this at the bull sale the other day, I really didn't realize how important Langston University is to the state of Oklahoma as far as horticulture and all kinds of stuff like that. They even have, he was there, I don't remember his name. One of the professors that was there, they even do peanuts at Langston University. So I'm pretty impressed. I'm just going to, nothing against OSU, you know, everybody, but I'm pretty impressed. There was, Mike Anderson was talking about some water melon research and some plastic culture, and then Dr. Kendall was talking about hoop houses and ginger trials. And they're doing, just so you guys, I've never thought about growing ginger or nothing, but it looks like ginger might be a little thing to get in for a little sidekick in your hoop house or even growing ginger. So more about that, you can look that up. And then Josh Campbell was there talking about new and beginning farmers. And then an extension educator from Langston, Rory Hernandez, was talking about the value of gardening for mental health. And then Brian and Briley Pritchard was there talking about plastic culture and vegetable marketing. And who else was there? Oh, this is the one, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to talk about that I really enjoyed was from Hank Banker. He's an extension educator from Langston University. He was talking about beekeeping. And I was impressed. And I learned some things. So here's a question I'm going to ask you guys. And just think about this. What is the number one enemy of honeybees and hives? And, of course, my initial thought in the beginning was pesticides. And a couple other people was talking about, there's a couple of people there actually have hives, was talking about water. You know, you got to have water. Water has to be close to your beehives. Neither one of them. I don't know the full full scientific name, but mites, M-I-T-E-S, are the number one enemy of honeybees. They get into the bee, and there's something else I learned. They get into the bee, and I'm going to have Dr. Baker come on the show here in the next month because their beehive time's getting ready to fire up here pretty quick. But these mites get it onto the, attach themselves to the bees and suck the fat out of the bees. See, I didn't even know bees had fat, but they do. And it's one of the, a lot of people might think they lose their hives because of water or pesticides or all the above, blah, blah, blah. But it's the biggest one is mites. So I'm going to have Dr. Baker come on and talk about that. So that was pretty in. Oh, also, I wanted to back up to the bull sale. So I had seen Scott and Ann Robinson there. And, you know, Mr. Scott's the big-time Charley bull breeder out here in western Oklahoma, and his bulls bring top dollar at the sale barns and all that. Well, I seen him there. And I just wanted to mention that because his he didn't have any bulls in this ale, but he was the Charolais bulls weren't quite doing what the black bulls and some of the Hereford bulls were doing. And for one reason or another, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I was giving him crap about that. And I was trying to get him to drink a cocktail with me celebrating my birthday that was yesterday, and he wouldn't do it. So, but Ann, that made me think of that. Ann just texted me and wished me a happy birthday. I had a good birthday yesterday, and thank you guys for all that wished me a happy birthday on social media and shot me a text or a message or something. I appreciate it. Big 6-3 yesterday. So back to the honeybees. I'm going to have Dr. Baker on. I think he's a doctor, professor. Have him on to talk about honeybees. I think it's really, really interesting of the information he's got. And it'll probably take up the whole show. He's a really nice guy. He brought a live hive in there and had a little green dot on the queen bee and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. I enjoyed it. And then they had some demonstrations outside with the tillers, and then Brian and Briley had their deal there with the little Ford tractor, the lay plastic down and stuff. So it was a good time. Thanks for everybody who came to it, and thanks for everybody that put that on. Really interesting deal. Then I stopped by the equipment sale out here by the Elk City Sale Barn, and it was pretty good sale. I text Derek earlier, Wooten, and asked him how it went, and he said it went really good. 89% of everything that was on consignment there sold. And there was some, I don't know that there was any bargains out there by any means. Hard-headed farmers and ranchers are not going to let things be a bargain. There was a tractor that 8R brought 340-something thousand. The John Deere Swather I seen brought 140, and I think that New Holland Swather with low hours on it was 70-80 thousand. I don't remember exactly. Maybe more than that. And then that Massey Ferguson that was there was around 60,000, somewhere in there. I don't remember exact numbers. Look it up on the website that there was it was just no crazy bargains out there. I know one thing. The wind was getting it Wednesday, and there's a lot of dirt in people's faces, and people were trying to keep the dirt out of their eyes. So that was one of the deals. Somebody said the Cotton King was there. I didn't see him, but they said he had been there. So I didn't. Probably a good thing I didn't run into him anyway. Seen a lot of people I hadn't seen in a few years there, so it was a good sale. You couldn't tell equipment prices were. Used equipment prices were a bargain by that sale Saturday, by no means. So, all right, today is the OCA happy hour. Let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break. When we come back, we'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 17. 3,648 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 462 brought 400. 15 at 536 brought 328. 14 at 649 brought 283. 10 at 671 brought 287. 5 at 785 brought 269. 11 at 868 brought 251. 6 head of heifers at 435 brought 315. 10 at 516 brought 298. 9 at 577 brought 279. 26 at 762 brought 241, 7 at 764 brought 231, 4 at 940 brought 226, butcher cows were 30 to 150, butcher bulls brought 100 to 166, bred cows 1300 to 2825, pairs brought 1900 to 2825, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hick 580-497-6095.
The Piercy family invites you to their production sale at the Piercy Angus Cattle Facility in Eakley, Oklahoma. The sale will be held at high noon on Monday, March the 3rd. They will be offering over 70 registered Angus bulls, 16 two-year-olds, 36 18-month-olds, 21 yearlings, and special lots of replacement females will also be offered. For more information, contact Trey Piercy at 405-545-0985 or be sure and check out their ad in the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. Goodlet, it's 80 degrees, humidity's 19, dew point's 34. The winds are out of southwest at a whopping 3 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 16 miles an hour. New red flag, no sub freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature 50 degrees. Couple days of warm weather, man. We went from around 42, 43 degrees ground temperature up to 50. So it's warming up. Things are growing. We need some rain. That's all I can tell you. All right, let's see what happened overnight before we do our Lipscomb dealership's grain market update, current up to date grain market. Let's see what happened overnight first. Grain and soybean futures were lower overnight on worries about demand for U.S. ag products after, guess what? You guessed it. President Donald Trump signed executive orders imposing tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China, potentially igniting a global trade war. Order signed Saturday imposed 25% tariffs on products from Canada and Mexico and a 10% levy on items from China. They're scheduled to take effect on Tuesday. In response, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, or however you say his name, announced retaliatory tariffs of 25% on U.S. products. Mexico is considering tariffs on U.S. goods as well. China said it's planned to take corresponding countermeasures and file a complaint with the World Trade Commission. And let's see here. China, Mexico, Canada were the three largest buyers of U.S. ag products in 2023. Trump said Sunday that Americans will suffer some pain from the tariffs, of course. Corn futures dropped 6¾ cents to 475¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for March delivery lost 4¼ cents to 555¼ a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down 4 cents to 575¼ a bushel overnight. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 5½ cents to 1036½ a bushel. Soy meal lost 490 to 296.20 a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.97 cents to 47.08 cents a pound. Speculators raised their bullish bets on corn to the highest level in almost 3 years in the 7 days that ended on January the 28th. According to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, investors held net long positions or bets on higher prices of 343,789 future contracts in corn last week. That's up from 321,000 the week before, and the largest such position since April 19 of 2022. Money managers were net long in soybeans by 73,000 futures contracts. That's up from 65,000 the week before. This is the largest bullish position since November 21 of 2023. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short position or bets on lower prices of 106,000 future contracts in soft red winter wheat. Investors also held a net short position of 41,407 hard red winter wheat future contracts as of January 28. There you have it. For all you stockbrokers out there and people investing all that stuff. Weather across the Farm Belt, not much going on. It's just a little cold up north, which is pretty normal. Wind chills in northern North Dakota will drop to minus 32 degrees. I ain't going to keep that. That's about it. Nothing crazy. It's going to chill down here tomorrow. Warm back up in the 70s Wednesday. But I think this weekend we got a pretty serious cold front coming in. Okay, let's see what the current markets is. Let's do the Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update. Soon as it updates here, there we go. Let's see what's happening. A little different story than what it was overnight. Corn for March, 487, up 5.5. May's up 5.25 at 498. Let me get rid of this pop up here. Soybeans for March, 1054, up 12.25. May is 1068, up 11. Soybean meal, March 302.30, up 120. May is 310.40, up 80 cents. Soybean oil, March 46.48, up 37. Hard red winter wheat, March 5.88, up 8.75. May is 5.96, up 7.25. Cotton's down for July at 67.88, down 35. Let's see here. Oil, how to West Texas, March 72.47, down 6 cents. Natural gas is up a little bit finally today, March 3.33, up 28. The NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow are all in the red right now. Not hugely, but they're there. Live cattle, February, 202.97, down 162. April, 199.55, down 275. Feeders for March, 270.17, down 555. April, 269.50, down 562. And May's, 267.82, down 530. Lean hogs are down today. First time in a while, February, 84.12, down a nickel. April's, 86.35, down 4. And May, 90.72, down 380. Okay, let's see here. Let's check out what happened in Oklahoma last week. As far as, according to USDA, this is the Oklahoma Weekly Cattle Auction Summary. Total receipts, 48,201 head went through the sale barns that reported, compared to 23,210 the week before. Last year, 35,349. Slaughter, let's see, feeder cattle was 93.5%, 93.5% of that. Slaughter cattle was 4.4% of that. Replacement cattle was 2.1% of that. Compared to last week, feeder steers were $6 to $9 higher, steer calves $8 to $11 higher, feeder heifers and heifer calves were $3 to $8 higher, except for the 5 to 600 pounders was $10 higher. Demand remains very good for all classes of cattle. Slaughter cows $7 to $11 higher. Most advancements on lean cows. Slaughter bulls were $5 higher. Packer demand has increased significantly since the beginning of the year. The cattle inventory report came out, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. And eastern Oklahoma received rain this week, was the far southeast part of the state getting up to 5 inches. There you have it. I'll tell you, I took some in from a landlord the other day, and it was one of the calves that I didn't want to take because it's small, but I couldn't get him separated away from the other ones that I was bringing without a disaster. So I took him in, and I didn't think he weighed 400, but he was 390, so that's close. I don't even remember what he brought. It was just a few dollars short. A 390-pound bull calf right off the mama, almost $1,700. 4 1/4 pounds what it brought, if I remember right. Boy, and there was some baby calves in there weighing 60 pounds, brought $12 a pound. Just good times, I guess. Crazy, but good. Let's go ahead and do the Texas weekly cattle auction summary from the USDA. Total receipts was 7,855 head compared to 4,236 the week before and 8,128 a year ago. Feeder cattle was 6,856 head. That was 87.3%. Slaughter cattle was 9.1%. And replacement cattle was 281, so that'd be about 3.6% compared to last week in Texas. At the stockyards, feeder steers and heifers were $5 to $10 higher early in the week, then steady by the end of the week. Demand was moderate to good, temperatures warming up, and moisture in the area. Supplies included, I just went over that with you. So, man, that's some good numbers at the sale barns last week. Okay, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, we'll have more to talk about. Be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As the high school basketball sports season heads into the final stretch, the excitement is just beginning on ParagonTV.com. Catch every thrilling moment of Arapahoe Butler, Merritt, Hammond, Canute, Leedy, Eric, and Cheyenne Raiden as we gear up for the playoffs. Don't miss a single pass or shot. ParagonTV brings you live streaming coverage right to your screen on your iPhone, Roku, Fire Stick, or PC. Feel the heart-pounding action as the broadcasters from the Paragon Network bring you right into the game. It's playoff basketball. It's live, and it's on ParagonTV.com.
Did you know a cow's energy requirement increases 1% for each degree the cattle comfort index is below 32 degrees? And that energy would double to 2% if the animal is wet to the skin. One way to help with that is feeding them with MaxiGain or Range Max cattle cubes, all available at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Get yours today in bulk or bags. That's SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And follow SEI Agritech on Facebook for ag news and information on their products.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March the 1st at 12:30. Selling 85 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 25 first calf commercial pairs. Tested for DNA data, birth, weaning, yearling, and ultrasound data, over 50% of the bulls are suitable for use on heifers. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale Saturday, March the 1st at 12:30 on County Road 2150 near Burns Flat. More information available at davisangus.com or search Davis Angus on Facebook.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. The Big 3 Model Year Clearance Sale is happening now at all seven Lipscomb dealerships. Great big limited-time savings on new GM, Ford, and Stellantis vehicles, including special 0% financing and discounts of over $11,000 off select Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles at Lipscomb in Wichita Falls, Burke Burnett, Bowie, Sayre, Elk City, and online at LipscombDealerships.com. Save more in the country. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals since 1979.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 26th at the ranch southwest of Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Sitz Barricade, LAR Man in Black, Deer Valley Growth Fund. Several other breed-leading sires will be represented. Also selling commercial two-year-old pairs and open yearling heifers carrying QC genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 26th at 12:30 at the ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online at cci.live. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here you go. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Buffalo, it's currently 80 degrees. Dew point's 31. Humidity 17. The winds are out of the west-northwest at 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 17. 0.09 inches of rain so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 41 degrees. Sunset at 6:05, 80 for a high today, and you've got there. 30 for a low tonight, and 48 for a high tomorrow. One extreme to the other. There's another thing that I failed to mention in my first segment about Saturday at the Technology Center. You guys check this out at Cedar Farm. Just put Google Cedar Farm /BCS and it'll come up. And they're from Sand Springs, Oklahoma. He was out here demonstrate and talk about a little bit about the tiller that they have. And this ain't your normal housewife rotor tiller. This is a tractor rotor tiller. And why I say the word housewife, I'm just like, it's like comparing a full-size, man-sized baler with what Sugar Daddy uses over at Dale High, you know, that baby baler. There's 4x5 round bales. It's the same thing. We talked a little bit about it this morning. Some of the guys did. And, you know, Troy, this is kind of built similar to a Troy built, but these are like got 30 horsepower engines on them, 20, 25 horsepower Honda engines on them. Troy built's a good tiller. I've had a couple of them, but this thing has so many different attachments that can go with it. Check it out. You just have to get out there and check it out. The BCS at Cedar Valley Farms here in Oklahoma. You talk about something tear some stuff up. They got wood chippers. They got everything. You can do your raised beds with them, and there's so many different, the power washer on them. There's so many different things you can get in there. I'm not going to lie. They're not cheap, but they're pretty interesting. So I wanted to share that with you guys on that BCS tiller. They call them tractors, but it's a tiller as its main goes to till. Okay. Guess what, guys? Mexican cattle exports to resume under inspection protocol. We knew it was coming. The USDA will allow cattle imports to resume from Mexico under a pre-clearance inspection and treatment protocol for the New World screwworm. According to the department, Saturday, imports of cattle and bison from Mexico have been blocked since November when the parasite was discovered in southern Mexico. The USDA's Animal and Plant Inspection Service said in a release that imports would resume within the next several days. And I'm guessing they started today. The protocol that the USDA and Mexico agreed to include the establishment of pre-export inspections pins at the Mexican communities of San Geronimo, or however you say that, Chihuahua, and some other ones here, the Sonora ones. Animals will be inspected and treated for screwworm before entering the pens. They will then be inspected by Mexican officials before heading to the final inspection by the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services at Santa Teresa, New Mexico, and Douglas, Arizona, ports of entry. Cattle and bison approved for importation will be also dipped in a solution to ensure they are otherwise insect and tick free. The release said that the two countries are working to open additional pre-export inspection pens. The ban on imports for the Mexican cattle has contributed to constricting U.S. cattle supplies, keeping cattle and beef prices at historically high levels. So we're going to see what this does to the market. Be interesting. Some guys says it will not affect the cash market. Some guys says it is. It will. So we'll see what's going on. Update on wildfires and burn bans and all that good stuff in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Currently, there are no burn bans in Oklahoma. Texas Panhandle, whole different ball game. Burn ban counties in Texas Panhandle include Sherman, Lipscomb, Roberts, Hemphill, Wheeler, Armstrong, Donnelly, and let me move this map up here. Childress County, Briscoe, Castro, Switzer, Hale, Floyd, and there's one right here. Yes, in Wellberger, however you say that, there at where Vernon is, the county that Vernon's in. Wellberger, however you say that. Anyway, those are currently under burn bans. In Texas Panhandle and North Texas there. None in Oklahoma. So, got that going. All right, let's see here. Where is my little Dr. Peel report from the big report that came out Tuesday afternoon? There it is. All right, let me check out this deal here from Dr. Peel before we go to our last break. The annual cattle report from the USDA NASS at the end of January showed that the U.S. cattle industry continued to get smaller in 2024. The inventory of all cattle and calves was 86.66 million head, down 0.6% year over year. This total inventory was 1.8% lower than the recent low in 2014 and the lowest since 1951. The all cattle and calves inventory decreased 8 million head, or 8.5%, from the peak in 2019. The beef cow herd on January 1st was 27.86 million head, down 0.5% year over year and 3.8% below the previous low in 2014, the lowest since 1961. The beef cow herd has declined 3.78 million head from the recent peak in 2019, a decrease of 11.9% in 6 years. The January 1 inventory of beef replacement heifers was at 4.67 million head, 1% less than a year ago, and the smallest inventory since 1949. Donnie Walker, old buddy from Grimes, you know, he was talking about most of his calves being born now was all heifers. So he said he was doing his part to contribute to rebuilding the herd with having all these heifers. That's the exact words that come out of that man's mouth. The 2025 beef replacement heifer inventory is down 9% from the previous low in 2011. The dairy cow inventory was at 9.35 million head, unchanged from last year. The inventory of dairy replacement heifers was 3.9 million head. That's down 0.9%. 0.9, not 9%, but 0.9%. Inventory of bulls was at 2.01 million head. That's down 0.6% from a year ago. Other inventory categories from Dr. Peel are used to calculate the estimated feeder supply of feedlots. This includes other heifers, down 1%, steers 500 pounds plus, down 0.6%, and calves 500 pounds, down 0.2%. Adjusted for the January 1st feedlot inventory, down 0.9%, resulting in a feeder supply estimate down 0.5% from last year. Not major, but it's still down since we're already low. The cattle industry is characterized by the so-called 10-year cattle cycles. In fact, the last eight cattle cycles have varied from 9 to 14 years with only one, the 2004 to 2014, exactly 10 years from low to low inventory. The 2025 inventory represents the 11th year since the previous low in 2014. There you have it. All right. That's what Dr. Peel has got to say. He says here that the question of heifer retention in 2025 will determine herd dynamics in the 2026 and beyond. Heifers saved for breeding, part of the 25 beef replacement heifer inventory, and additional unplanned or impulse heifer breeding in 2025 may result in a modest increase in heifers calving in 2026. The supply of heifers available to do this are limited, but could allow for limited growth herd growth in 2026. Additional retention of heifer calves in 2025 for breeding in 2026 might set the stage for more rapid herd growth in 2027 and beyond. The last three words Dr. Peel says is, "We will see." There you have it. All right, let's take a OCA break. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for the southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The TSET Healthy Youth Initiative is making a difference in every corner of Oklahoma, working to prevent teen tobacco and vape use, fueling our minds and bodies through health education, and empowering the next generation of leaders. Why? Because we are the future of Oklahoma. The TSET Healthy Youth Initiative, investing in Oklahoma. Learn more at tsethealthyyouth.com. Brought to you by the Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust.
The thing about tires is, it only takes one of them to blow out to stop you right where you are. Good thing Blair Tire comes to you. South of I-40 and west of I-35, nobody has more ag tires than Blair Tire and Feed. They'll have it when you need it. If you're stranded, Blair Tire finds you and fixes it. Getting you rolling again is where they hang their hat. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19 in Blair. All the name brand tires you want. Service that can't be touched.
If you've got a job that's going to take some heavy equipment and skill, call Johnny Evans at Double J Dozing and Excavating. He specializes in building ponds and making pads for barns and sheds. He'll clear land and trees, he'll make roads, he'll do terrace work, and even fix washouts. Johnny can do most anything that involves a dozer or an excavator. He's ready to go to work in this area, so give him a call or text at 580-339-6854. That's Johnny Evans and Double J Dozing and Excavating.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of Camrock, everybody, they got bulk oil, bulk hydraulic oil, whole nine yards there. Get a chance. Farming season is almost upon us. So get stocked up. Go by there and see Camrock right here south, right there next to Fridge. Can't miss them, where the old Honda shop was. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to Hollis. See what's happening at Hollis right now. 79 degrees, dew point's 33. Humidity is 19. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 4. 10-day rain total or precipitation total, 0.14 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46 degrees. Sunset at 6:10. Sunny and 84 degrees today. Tonight 41. Tomorrow 68. And that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Okay, let's see here. I wanted to share this with you. I seen this on Ag Web this morning. I'm kind of partial. I got some good friends that are mechanics, no matter what color their equipment is. But the title of this is A Touching Tractor Tribute. Farmers bid farewell to a local John Deere technician who was a loyal lifeline in the field. Steve Hamm was a mobile technician for 30 years, and this past week, the same farmers who Hamm served for all these years found a way to show how grateful they were for touching goodbye. He passed away. A love for tractors and admiration for the John Deere Green. That's how you describe Steve Hamm, a John Deere mobile technician, a father and a grandpa. He was loved by many, as many in the community will tell you. He was truly dedicated to his craft. Steve was a pioneer for that kind of knowledge. We really depended on him, says Chris Robinson, general manager of Ag Power, the John Deere dealership in Richmond, Missouri, where Steve worked. He was a man of integrity, said Dennis Estes, who worked with Steve at Ag Power, but was also Steve's friend and the pastor at his church. He had a passion for what he did, and he was a person who served a lot of people. As a technician, Steve's career revolved around service, but even then, Steve went above and beyond time and again. He lived to serve, Robinson said. He put everyone else above him or before him, and he was called on all the time. Whether it involved work for even personal family matters, he was always being able to be reached and counted on. You looked at the communities that Steve served, people were from small towns and everywhere else called Steve. If it was at 10 at night, Steve took the call. Estes said area farmer Steve was a loyal lifeline in the field, providing a service no matter the time, no matter how challenging the issue was needed to be fixed. This equipment is so complicated these days, and Steve pursued the passion of always learning, said Estes. If there was anything he couldn't fix, he found out how to fix it, and he wouldn't quit. He had the passion that made him pursue that until he got it, and I think that's what really set him apart from a lot of other mechanics. Robinson said on paper, Steve was a master technician, which is the highest honor you can receive as a John Deere technician, but he was more than that. Steve had a wealth of knowledge he passed on to others, a man who dedicated 3 decades of his life helping others was remembered in a remarkable way this past week on a crisp, sunny Tuesday morning. Those same farmers who Steve served for all these years found a way to show how grateful they were. I've never seen a tribute to somebody that was more compelling probably than this tribute, Estes said. As you can see there, when they pulled into the cemetery, they had John Deere tractors, combines, all kinds of stuff with the auger sticking out where you drive under the augers on the deal, according to this picture here that I'm looking at. Tractor after tractor, combines with their augers out, all lined the road next to the cemetery where Steve would be laid to rest. I couldn't help but thinking, as we were going to the graveside service, the effort made by so many people to be there. As I looked up on the hill and all the farmers, it was almost a miss because you could see the moisture in the eyes of so many of these people, many hardened individuals, farmers who used to being out there in nature and fighting it, whether flood or drought or whatever it is, and through the toughness, they still had those kind of feelings for Steve. I don't know what tractor, doesn't matter what tractor that was pulling. They had a little, kind of like a little wagon, like you see the old cotton trailers on, a little bit smaller, had with the casket on it with an American flag and a John Deere flag flying. So it was pretty cool deal. Farmers who never had the chance to thank you or goodbye stepped up to the call this week with a touching tractor tribute. He deserved every bit of the tribute. He didn't even ask for it. I hope he's smiling on down on us. The touching tractor tribute was a nod to something Steve loved so much as he took his final ride on the John Deere trailer. So pretty cool tribute. That was interesting. We all know that one guy from each dealership, no matter who it is, that we all love and get to love. So it pretty cool. Okay, let's see here. OCA. When you're a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also get to the part of many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation, OCF. Distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizes internship programs, pays out theft awards, and has collected and paid out over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. The OCA also hosts the annual WRCA sanctioned rodeo exclusively for Oklahoma ranch teams. Over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event has been given to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. It's always a great day to become a member. So go to www.okcattleman.org or call Lori, who was at the bull sale Saturday, her and Jeremiah, 580-273-5137, 580-273-5137. What else we got going on? Bear with me a second here. There we are. All right. Paragon TV and Big Elk TV coming up. Big Elk tomorrow, February 4th. There will be Chickasha's coming to town. 6:30 girls game, 8 o'clock boys game. Friday, looks like Elk City is headed to Harding Fine Arts. Girls play at 6:30 and the boys play at 8 o'clock. And then, Paragon TV, this schedule, I'm just going to go over tomorrow's schedule, not this whole schedule. Arapahoe Butler at Hinton, Hammond at Canute, Corn Bible Academy at Cheyenne Raiden, Eric at Blair, and Moreland at Leedy. And then coming up Thursday, Mangum will be at Merritt out here south of town. And then 270 playoffs begin coming up this weekend on Paragon TV. That's all going on. I failed to mention what I seen in the Penny News in the Atwoods Flyer that came out last Thursday morning in our Penny News. You guys ready? The buy of the week is the single pork femur bone dog chew, but on the back page of that insert, with farming season becoming upon us, $249 for the half inch 20 volt max impact wrench, and you get a free $169.99 value 5AH battery, max battery to go with it. Well, think about that. You got all kinds of cool stuff coming up. with farming season, they'll be planting. My neighbor's already killing up his corn stubble ground. So anyway, there's lots of good stuff in that insert coming up. All right. What else we got here? Bear with me a second. If you get a chance, go to Successful Farming. Google out how drip irrigation can improve crop and health and conserve water. It's too long of a article for me to until I maybe yell at some man and check it out. But check out what they're doing. I mean, it's the same kind of type of drip system, except bigger than what a lot of people do in their gardens and stuff. You guys need to check this deal out, because water is becoming a major issue all over the United States, especially Western Oklahoma also. But they're coming up with different ways of trying to conserve water, and we need to. But this was a really cool article on a drip system, and it looks like this was in soybeans. Interesting. This system was developed in Israel. So check it out on Successful Farming, and just Google how it's under machinery and irrigation. You can't miss the article. Pretty interesting article. All right. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank of Trust, Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Tomorrow's Hay Day Tuesday. Get ready. Let's have some hay sales tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest stars in country music.
Here they are.